jingle, 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 jingle.
And we're back.
And we're back.
You already started the other one that way, so.
Yeah, well, how about I start this one? Jazzy saxophone.
Is that what that was?
I don't know. Jazzy Christmas saxophone.
Can that be why don't your I, new theme song?
Why don't I sing us back in with a...
Bong, bong.
That was good. That was really good.
Welcome back, guys, to It's 2:30 a.m., our 2 a.m. / 3 a.m. collab, where we're doing Christmas part two, part two, snacks now.
Yep, Chad, they can't see you again.
I know they can't see me, but I did the sound effect.
That was all for you.
Snap, snap, guys. Am I right?
I'm Chad.
Oh, we didn't say our names last time.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm saying my name now. I'm Chad. No one else is going to say their name.
I'm Grace.
I'm Catherine, I guess.
You guess?
I guess.
An existential crisis.
Am I really?
Do we want to look at your birth certificate? Are we going to go on a...
I don't think you need to see that. Wink, wink.
This week on gotcha. BuzzFeed Unsolved, we're going to figure out...
Who Catherine's really? An alien.
We're exploring the question, is Catherine real?
Is Catherine real? That's a great question.
Spoiler alert, no, she's a shared delusion.
Love it. I'm Love perfect. That theory. Love it. Theory number one. She's a shared.
So we're getting back into our Christmas movies, which we watched a ton of. So we're just going to dive right back into it. Let's go in with The Christmas Prince. Or is it The Christmas Prince or A Christmas Prince?
I think it's
A Christmas Prince.
A Christmas Prince.
UH Christmas Prince.
Just one Christmas Prince.
Which
I would love if it was UH, like comma Christmas Prince.
Me making a movie.
Like I guess exactly. I guess he's a Christmas
Prince. Maybe that's why when they were like, hey, someone needs to name this movie, and someone was like, Christmas Prince? And someone's like, yes, that's it! A Christmas Prince!
They're like, he's a prince, he's getting coronated at Christmas, we'll call it A Christmas Prince.
Yeah, I watched this one last year when it came out, and it was like suddenly everyone on the internet's favorite movie ever made.
Yeah.
I mean, it is deliciously bad.
And I have to tell you, it took me the whole film to realize that's the girl from iZombie.
Oh my god, I did not even notice that.
Yep, that's her.
Oh my goodness, is that show still on?
Who cares?
That is so interesting, I did not even realize that.
Yeah.
But I think it was, I don't know, Catherine and I watched it when it first... Didn't we watch it when it initially came out, too?
Yeah, I watched it twice within, like, a week.
And then never again.
I would not recommend that because it was too much. It was too much in too short a time. But I watched it with you, and then I watched it with He Who Shall Not Be Named on this podcast.
Redacted.
Yes.
I can't believe you're friends with Voldemort.
Yeah. My good old pal. No, you can't name him. Good point.
I definitely don't remember this movie at all, so I had to, like, rewatch it, and I rewatched this one and its sequel back-to-back, so that was an interesting time for me.
Gotcha. I did not see the sequel. I saw that on Netflix, the little, like, thumbnail for it was, like, a wedding dress, and then there was, like, a Converse shoe peeking out, and I was like, ugh, okay.
It wasn't even the pair of shoes that she wore, though. She wore bedazzled Converse in the movie, not red ones.
I don't know why that was, like, part of her thing. I guess that was supposed to be, like, oh, she's just, like, a normal girl. And I'm just, like, eye roll. Like, I might lose a contact from rolling my eyes.
What normal girl wears bedazzled Converse?
I mean, I rarely see people wearing Converse to begin with. Honestly.
Honestly, same. Like, it is not 2003. Also, it always reminds me of the scene in Twilight where they go to the prom and she's wearing Converse because she broke her leg.
maybe that's what that was.
Oh my god, she's the new generation Bella.
Honestly. Oh god.
Is that not what this movie is? Is this not Twilight fanfiction?
Oh my god. The couple, like, they're so boring, though, as a couple.
They are. They're really,
they're
like...
so boring. Like, you watch it for all the other stuff happening, but not for...
They're the epitome of, like, white bread. Like, full-on Wonder Bread couple sandwiched together.
Yeah.
Also, I love how the gay in the, like, in the very first Christmas Prince movie, he was just like, he's a 12. And I was just like, okay, calm your thirsty ass. Because
he's
like,
not a 12.
He's like a 7.5, 8 at most.
Very limited exposure to men.
I'm like, he looks like he could be Chris Evans's cousin.
Yeah.
Question mark? Like a questionable cousin.
Cousin and, that they like keep locked up in the basement.
And I don't know if like it was just the time, but when I watched the second one, I was like, he almost looks worse, but I don't know if it's just because I cared less.
He's even worse looking in this movie.
If they maybe just stopped trying, because they were like, ah, oh, they're already in a relationship. He's given up on himself.
I don't remember the first movie. I mean, I like, why did they get together? Because, well, I feel like they had no chemistry.
They really like, didn't. They just had random conversations together where they were like semi-deep, and like it was because they were by themselves basically, and then like that's how they fell in love.
It's like Sims when you're trying to build their relationship and you just do deep conversation, deep conversation, deep conversation.
Hey, I do that all the time.
And that's how you build relationships.
That reminds me, I need to check Sims on my Sims. I need to figure out if that one Sim is pregnant. Her husband died.
Oh. Was that from the other weekend?
Yeah.
I haven't played since then.
Oh, it was so funny. Sidebar, just to tell you what happened is I, like...
sidebar.
I trapped, because, you know, Sims is fun to play when you kill people. And I, like, trapped her husband in a room because he wouldn't do the stuff that I wanted him to do.
Was this the fire room?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a room where I keep literally just a bunch of fireplaces.
And rugs by the fireplaces.
They haven't caught on fire yet, but it's just like a room where they basically stay in there, get toasty, and starve to death.
Aww.
And, like, I let him out after he was, like on the brink of death, basically. And then I had him go have sex with his wife.
Oh, my God.
And then immediately afterwards, he got out of bed and did something, and then I looked back, and he was dead on the floor.
Well.
And all of the people who lived in the house were like, oh, my God, he's dead. It was so funny.
Sims in their grief.
Sims in their grief.
It was a great time for me.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you had a fabulous time.
But back to Christmas Prince.
the real Sims.
The real Sims.
Honestly, yeah, they're just like
randomized
cardboard
Sims.
Cutouts of people.
They're just like randomized Sims.
Kind of.
They kind of are, yeah.
Especially, like, the two side like, her friends, they have, like, zero, like, they never really talk about their lives. They're just, like, there, and I'm like, do you guys, like, not talk about anything other than, like, I guess her life? I mean, it wasn't conducive to the story, so I guess they wouldn't, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, that's, like, the best friend trope.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I didn't understand about this movie was how they all knew so much about this small country. They're all like, this small country, and they're like, oh, this playboy from this, like, playboy prince from this country. I'm just like, okay, how do you guys know so much about this country? Like, it's supposed to be a small country. They know so much about it. They know all about the politics of this country. It's like, if he doesn't get there in time, he's going to abdicate the throne. It's like, what the fuck? How do you know this?
I'm trying to even think of, like, a real-life example of that. Like, I mean, I guess, like, England, but England's, like, a major world superpower.
Yeah.
So, like...
I guess, like, an equivalent would be, like, one of those smaller European countries that are, like, in the middle, like, inland.
Belgium.
Belgium. You mean
Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia.
I was close.
I'm pretty sure Czechoslovakia is not inland. I think it's near the water.
I don't know where it is.
I don't know a lot about geography, but I do know a little bit about Czechoslovakia because of extracurricular activities that we shall not be naming.
Yeah, Czech? Any-
no, anyway.
What the hell does that mean? I genuinely am scared now.
I'm genuinely intrigued.
Like, I genuinely think you're a spy now.
That's why I'm always home. I have nothing to do when I'm not on spy work.
Gotcha. You're just the guy that sits on the computer and monitors things.
I'm a handler.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be, like, us knowing a ton about, like, Luxembourg and their politics, like...
Really? Because that's what it was. I was like... How could they possibly know that much? And I was just, that one specific detail took me out of the movie for a good 5 minutes when I was rewatching it. I was like, what?
Yeah, this is the one where he's from Aldovia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which has an international airport. And I was just like, this small country has an international airport.
Yes. Yeah, I have to say, I liked the Princess Switch a lot more than this one. Yeah. Because I felt like Vanessa Hudgens and that guy didn't have a ton of chemistry either. But, like, the rest of it was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the hot best friend, and, like, there was the daughter, and, like, a couple other things. Like, that, like, the wheelchair sister, whatever.
The crippled sister with spina bifida.
Freaking polio sister. I was like, girl. Like, she is not fun to watch.
Oh my god. I really wanted her to get a goddamn blanket.
And the acting also is just...
Like, yeah. I was trying to figure out why they did not give her an FDR blanket. She was just rolling around.
Honestly, that would have been so funny. She's like, I'm the reincarnated soul of FDR.
She just has, like, a bald spot in the middle of her head.
Oh my god.
And they're like, she's not actually crippled. She just thinks she's FDR.
I hate it.
Please. I hope they do that for, like, one of the sequels. But, no, my favorite part was in the first one when she just goes, I bet you're wondering what happened to me. And then she just rolls near the window and then tells her sad story. I'm just like, girl, no one asked what the fuck happened to you. You're just, like, volunteering information.
I love it. I bet you're wondering. I wasn't. Thank you.
I mean, you're in a wheelchair, so does it matter?
Yeah. How did the sequel hold up? Because I didn't watch it.
Like, I was telling you earlier how it kind of feels like they were like, okay, well, we have to do a sequel for the wedding. Okay, quick. Someone think of a conflict.
They just spun a wheel.
Worker strike.
They just spun a wheel and they're like, conflict.
Yeah, pretty much.
It felt so random and unnecessary and just...
I like how they...
Super uninteresting, also. I did not care about any of the conflict, because the only conflict was the worker strike or whatever. Everyone in the country hated him or whatever. And then the fact that she couldn't have the wedding she wanted to because of Aldovia's traditions wouldn't let her do things and wouldn't let her wear Converse to a wedding.
But really, it was just that one lady.
Yeah, but
Whatever her name is.
Avril Lavigne.
The real Avril Lavigne.
I feel like it was Mrs. Avril or something like that.
It was something stupid like that.
Yeah. Hi.
But she was just like, oh no, you have to do this because of the public image of the family and the royal customs and blah, blah, blah. And
she dropped it real quick at the end, though.
Yeah, well, the queen was basically like, hey, chill the fuck out. But it was funny, like, when she said that, the queen was just like, you know what, yeah, sure, whatever. She was so cavalier about it. She was just like, really. as long as you bring your problems to me, I'll be like,
I was half expecting the queen to be like, oh, this was a test, because of, like, the look on her face. She just looks so, like, satisfied when she just snapped.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, good, she's speaking up about how much she hates what's going on. And I'm like, and she was like, no, you're right. And I'm like, why does she look so happy about it, though? I don't know. It was... I wrote a lot. I have a whole page of notes for this, which is funny because I feel like I barely remember it. But, oh, one thing is a quote, Aldovinia has more snap, which is something that her dad said. And my comment is, he's right. Also, I love her dad in general. He's a chaotic good, I would say.
Oh my God, I love the fact in the second one they recast the actor. And it's so, because yes. I noticed because I watched it back to back.
Yeah.
But it's really funny. He just goes, I feel like a whole new person.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's great. He was a lot of, he was honestly the only mildly entertaining thing about the whole movie. And it's mildly, like, oh, and also the wheelchair girl, I can speak words. At one point, she was talking about some boy she likes or whatever, which was an extremely boring subplot. But, what's-her-face, the main character, was like, oh, you're blushing right now. And it's like, that girl is so pale. You're just seeing the blood through her skin. She's not blushing, she's dead.
Oh my God.
Hey, I mean, cripples can have sex drives.
She's sick, Catherine.
Oh my God, she's just... Like, she's like, oh, you're blushing. I'm like, but she's so pale. Because, you know, some people are so pale that, like, their cheeks are always red. And I'm like, she always looks like this. Like, there's no visible difference.
That's so funny.
What's interesting, though, is, like, when they did do her little subplot with her and the boy, I was just like, why do they have more chemistry than the main
This is true.
I was just like, damn, these two little kids have more chemistry than the main people we're supposed to be following throughout this whole movie.
That is a fair point.
Also, we saw less of the prince this movie.
Yeah, you actually barely saw him.
oh, really?
But, like, all the conflict, especially with, like, the workers' strike or whatever that was happening, was so dramatic to the point where I'm like, is there a murder plot coming? Because it feels like someone's gonna get killed. Like,
I wish they would have done that.
I agree. I have it in all caps. Where's the murder plot?
She asked me that and I said, like, oh, wouldn't it be great if they just switched genres with every sequel?
Well, there's a particular scene where she definitely almost killed her friends when she had the bow and the arrow and, like, spun around and, like, let it go because her friends surprised her and she almost killed them.
Well, that was kind of their fault for being all like, hey, blah, blah, blah.
But she was holding the bow and arrow and then gets surprised, spins around, and then lets go.
That's exactly how that works.
And I'm pretty sure something like that happened in the first one, too. So I think she just should not be given weapons.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think she might have just been secretly trying to kill one of her friends. That's really all it was.
And then she was holding the bow and arrow at some dude at the wedding, too. And I'm like, okay, well, now she's really going to kill someone. It's probably not even going to be this guy because her aim is horrible. I don't know.
What is this, like, bow and arrow? I feel like I've seen it on a couple other, like, movies or something where they have to become a princess and they have to learn archery.
It's like the new, like, pool table where it's like, here, let me show you.
The new pool table.
Plus it's outdoorsy.
Yeah. Also, like, it's like a rich people thing, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they gotta write some exterior scenes somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess in the Princess Switch, it was riding.
Yeah. Where she vaulted over the horse.
Oh my God.
That was amazing.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I was just like, girl, what are you doing? She literally threw herself over the horse.
That may have been one of my favorite parts. That was
great. The stunt work.
Also, when the wedding started, the music they were playing with the guitar was so somber. Like, if they were doing a funeral, the music would have fit in. I'm like...
Oh my God.
I'm like, did she kill someone?
It was...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, but also in the second one, the biggest thing was the fact that this country, they were basically broke. They were going broke because this country, like, the money was disappearing, basically. And my whole thing was, I'm just like, do you guys have, like, one accountant or something for the entire country? Because it seems like, there seems like there should be a whole branch that knows where this money is going.
You'd think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, they were just all like, oh, we're broke and all the people are on strike, I guess. Which was weird. I mean,
yeah. Well, then they met the one guy in particular.
Yeah.
Who was one of the people suffering. I don't even remember what the significance of that was, or if there was any.
It was so that she could basically be an investigative journalist again.
Ugh, oh, whatever. Right. That was her whole thing.
Yeah. And she was very much like, I need to get back to my, like, roots. I've been distracted by my wedding.
Okay.
One of my favorite parts was, though, when they introduced, like, the dad was trying to change the food or whatever, and he met the chef, and it was this lady in the kitchen, and it was really funny because, like, there was a scene where there were a bunch of kids in the kitchen. And then she was just, like, she got, like, sad for a minute and ran away and, like,
my... She, like, cried or something like that?
My immediate thought was just, like, oh, she tells, like, the sad story about, like, her life or whatever, but, like, my immediate thought was she was just, like, children, and then she just, like, starts crying and it's, like, it's because I'm barren. And then she, like, leaves.
Oh my god.
Love that. Love that subplot.
I wish that was a subplot. But this one definitely had more... suddenly, this movie had brown people. Like, this country had brown people. Because in the first one, everyone
still
was...
still not that many, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, way more than the first one. The first one was literally just all white all the time. It
I'm
was
telling
like
you, they, like...
A field
they,
of snow.
They know that black people are allowed to be in movies now.
Yeah. But, ironically, well, the only person... only black person that was in both movies was the best friend, who was from America. But in this country, weirdly, there were, like, two... I think those guys were Indian? Like, I know the wedding planner was Indian, and then there was a guy who worked for the family who I think was also Indian? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
He was brown. So, yay that.
He was brown.
But I hated the wedding planner. He was so annoying.
I think he was supposed to be funny, but...
Yeah, he was just annoying and had, like, zero taste. He was all like, oh, yeah, this is what we're gonna do. I'm designing the dress.
The fucking dress was so poorly, like, fitting. Not even designed, just poorly fitting. Also, the dress she ended up wearing was so wrinkled. I'm like, okay, I get you want to do your style or whatever, but you couldn't even iron the dress first.
Okay, how about... the dress in the first movie that they had during that scene where they revealed that she was a reporter was so ugly. It was one of the ugliest dresses I've ever seen in my entire life. And then I feel like a couple of the dresses that they did in this movie were equally, if not, like, a little less ugly than that one dress in that first movie. And I'm just
who's
like...
who's doing costume?
Yeah,
and
I'm
is
like,
it on purpose?
Why are they picking these abhorrently ugly dresses that are supposed to be regal or whatever? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, it's the same person who was doing props for the princess switch.
Well, they need to be fired.
Yeah.
I will take their job. I'm like, read a magazine. Look at what Kate Middleton is wearing.
Read a magazine. Amazing.
Watch the royal wedding.
Yeah.
Anywho.
I loved the blooper reel they showed during the credits, though. More entertaining than the whole movie put together.
Oh my god.
The first video was of the AC doing the slate, and he, like, dropped it, and I'm like, wow, me. So, great way to end that.
Classic.
I mean, my favorite part of that blooper reel was, like, the last bit where they all got into that, in that one scene where they got into the car with the cousin, and they are all in the back seat, and she just goes, no one's gonna sit up front with him. They were just all piled in like it was an Uber.
Amazing.
Welcome to your Uber Black Aldovia edition. Where it's really just a rickety old car.
5 stars.
5 stars. So, another Christmas movie.
Another movie.
Yet another.
Starts- just starts talking about a random movie.
Have you guys seen Love Actually?
I actually weirdly have not seen Love Actually.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't either.
How have I seen a movie that you guys haven't?
Me and my mom tried to watch it years ago when it was, like, hot and it had come out. And then, like, I remember we watched, like, maybe 7 to 10 minutes of it. And then we're, like, we're bored and turned it off.
It takes a minute to, like, get going because there's so many, like, lines. But
So many lines.
Not lines, but, like, storylines. That's what I mean.
Mm.
Well, that's like we're actually talking about. Chad and I both haven't seen Titanic.
I also haven't.
No, I have seen. I have seen Titanic. I hate Titanic.
Right.
Yeah. But
that's right. Yeah, I've never seen it.
You're literally not missing anything.
I know. I don't.
That's why I haven't seen it. Everyone's like, "You haven't seen it," and I'm like, "And."
But yeah, what's next on our list?
How about Christmas Inheritance? Because that was an interesting movie where...
I rewatched it this year, since I watched it last year, but I didn't remember it. But I did go to sleep for the last, like, 20 minutes.
Is that also a Netflix original?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the one that they keep hyping on, like, every other movie.
Yeah. I remember last year watching it while I was, like, wrapping Christmas presents, because I was like, this will get me in the mood, Christmassy. And I feel like I did not pay attention to a large portion of it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that it wasn't going, that it didn't get you in the mood. And then it didn't.
A lot of it is not really worthy of attention, though, to be fair.
Hey, she did have a black fiancé.
Fair, who was, like, not a good person, and she later broke up with.
Was he not a good person?
Yeah, his whole thing is that he was, like, really controlling and rich and didn't care about poor people.
Wait, was he the same fiancé from, No Sleep Till Christmas?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Different black.
Yes, it was the same fiance.
I don't know. It's been a while since I watched that specific one, so I'm like, my brain is completely like.
Yeah.
Where are my notes?
They do all meld together.
Oh, it's right here.
I did love the wacky hijinks movie. Cool. The hijinks music that they had.
Oh, yes.
Especially when the suitcase got hit by a car.
Ah, yes.
That was just really ridiculous. Yes.
Well, I had, it was just, like, a little part when she was getting her, giving her suitcases to the guy at the bus, and he was, like, putting luggage, like, just throwing luggage into the bus, and she's like, hey, can you, like, be really careful with this stuff? And he's like, of course, and then she walks away, and he immediately starts, like, throwing her luggage in the bus, and I'm like, this is what working in customer service is like.
Yep.
Also, I wrote down, one of the notes I had was no cell service, and I don't remember why I said that.
I think it's because there just was almost no cell service.
That was a large plot of the movie, was that there was no service out there.
No, it's like, How to Plan an Orgy in a Small Town, where they just, like, voted against, like, high-speed internet.
Yeah.
We don't need service.
We voted against moving into the new millennium.
No, I will say, one of my favorite tropes is the, we're gonna get a rich person, take away all their money, and watch them struggle. Like, that's one of my favorite tropes. So I love watching rich people struggle.
In Christmas movies, or just in general?
Oh, in general. I think that's why I like Schitt's Creek so much.
Oh my god.
Because you just watch them. It's just so much fun.
Oh, that reminds me, they have a Christmas special.
They do?
Yeah.
They do. Yeah.
I think it was coming out recently. We should definitely watch that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was on Pop. It was, like, on television.
Oh, yeah. I don't have cable, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but I rarely use it.
I really vividly remember the whole part where they were, like, there was the snowstorm, and they had to bring all the people in.
Oh, yeah. Were,
like, yes.
The one homeless guy.
I have a quote from that, hang on. I can take the sofa in the honeymoon suite. My hearing's not that good anymore anyways.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my god.
Big yikes is what I wrote next to that.
Amazing writing.
Thank you.
I had, like, conflicting emotions about the love interest in this movie because I'm like, I liked him, like, that particular actor, I liked him in Obvious Child. And I've seen him in other things that I kind of like him in. But in this particular role, I'm like, I just was not into him that much.
I hated his haircut.
It was weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was, like, very broody. He was just like, when he gives, like,
I wear flannel, and I get wood for the fireplace, and I don't need cell service.
But I'm also a decent guy because he gives, like, a homeless guy, like, money. He's just like, I'm a nice guy. But I'm also really broody, and I have a dark past.
I mean, what else do you need in a guy?
And he paints,
not
too.
That.
He paints, so he's also sensitive.
I mean, it's not the 90s anymore. I don't want a broody boyfriend. I don't want Angel.
Are you sure?
No, I don't want a broody boyfriend. I want a bad boy.
All right. Well,
that's what we all want, right?
Welcome to Chad Love, everyone.
Chad, love yourself. I've missed this segment.
It hasn't been that long, has it?
A couple times.
I don't know. It appears itself. It rears its ugly head from time to time.
Every day. Yeah, this one was one of those, like, kind of, like, bland ones that kind of melts into the rest of them for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not exceptional.
I don't know. They were definitely desperate to get the main two people together at some point. You could tell that they were kind of, like, scrambling behind, like, from the script to get those characters together.
Yeah.
But
you okay, Catherine?
We just take a long, dramatic pause. Yeah.
I was trying to see if I had anything else written down. The only other thing I have written down is Rich Fear.
Rich Fear.
Yeah.
Which is like half of the movie, so.
Yep.
She's like, I'm out of money. Rich Fear.
Yeah. Sees a homeless guy, Rich Fear.
Yeah, but she ended up working for that money, I guess. She was just like, I work here now.
Was it really working when she had no idea how to do anything and they had to completely teach her?
Oh, yeah, my favorite thing was, I wrote down, vacuum plus boxer equal explosion. Like, it will literally make your vacuum explode, I guess.
Literally explode.
Because it did, and I'm very curious. Now, I kind of want to test this theory, but I don't want to break my vacuum cleaner.
Mm. You should definitely not do that.
Just
because it's not going to work the way you want it to.
And then I'll have to call someone to fix it.
Oh, and then I had one other quote, and that's what in the beginning when she said, I want to prove that I can get things done, that I'm not just a dumb rich kid. My response to that is, why can't we have both?
I can have it all!
Why can't she be a dumb rich kid who does get things done?
You can be strong and go to prom.
I love that. I should get that as a fucking tattoo, just ironically.
You really should. In, like, the Teen Wolf font.
Laughs for 20 minutes.
And that's it.
Can we talk about A Very Cool Christmas? I know you didn't watch it, Grace, but Catherine and I watched A Very Cool Christmas, and...
Yes.
You should definitely watch it as a fan of terrible movies, because this was real. This was a bad one.
So this was, like, a good bad one. Like,
yeah. It's from, 2004. It was a made-for-TV movie, obviously.
It has some wild quotes.
Yeah.
It really does, but for the most part, well... Because I watched this with my mom, and I remember, like, yelling at a lot of parts of the movie because I was just like, this is just wildly ridiculous. Like, none of... Like, there was this security guard who was just, like, harassing the main girl who is supposedly very rich. Like, you can tell she's very rich because, like, she drives, like, a BMW, and she's, like, 16. So she's supposed to be, like, really rich and love shopping and all that kind of
stuff. And there was
shit.
Her whole, like, nightmare like, sequence that she had in the beginning where it's, like, last year's jeans.
That was, like...
fake Chanel.
That was, like, one of the best parts of the whole movie.
It was. Well, that's why I'm, like, they had me in the beginning, because I'm, like, yes, this looks fun. I'm here for it.
This was another one of those movies where it had, like, great sound effects, because...
yeah.
You know, because it was fucking 2004, so they were doing all kinds of wacky, crazy sound effects for no reason.
You're and, like, comedy!
Yeah. Comedy like, is sound.
Whoever was in the editing, whoever was doing the editing was just, like, having fun with their soundboard. They were like, brum, brum. Also, yeah, the security guard, it was just really ridiculous, because I'm like, if she's rich to the capacity at which she is, I'm like... we all know about rich people, and rich people...
we are aware.
Do we? Do we know rich
people? Well, we don't know them personally, but we know about them. And these, these, you know, rich people hate being bothered or harassed and whatnot, and this fucking security guard decided to just harass her, basically, for no reason. And then at some point, he, like, stalks her to her house and, like... talks to her parents and is just like, your daughter did this,
and blah, is, like, blah, trying blah. To get them to sign a contract to ban her from the mall for the rest of her life.
Yeah, and me, and the funniest thing is me and my mom, I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. I was like, for one, rich people wouldn't, I'm like, he would not have let him into his house. He does not know him. He is, like, I believe that he would have called the cops immediately. Like, the very first thing he would have done is, like, called the cops and been like, get off my property.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, do you want to see your daughter again? And I'm like, you were just talking about how your daughter has been missing for a little while and are, like, they were concerned. So I'm just like, dude, does he not seem like a kidnapper? Because his face to me read sexual predator all day long.
He was real sketch. Real sketchy.
Yeah, so I'm like, he definitely looked like, if you're like, oh, my daughter's missing, he might have kidnapped her. And then he was just like, sign this contract. And the funny thing is, when they showed, like, the line where he was supposed to sign on the dotted line or whatever, above, like, right above that, you saw fiduciary responsibility or something like that. And I was just like, what? I was like, dude, you're about to sign over your house, all of your money, your family, your wife, your kids, to this man. Just be like, let's ban my daughter from the mall so that she... because what was the whole reasoning for that? Like, he wanted to... The dad was only entertaining the idea because of what?
So he claimed that she threw a burger at him. And then also that she stole a bunch of things from the mall and then left with a significantly older man, a.k.a. Santa.
Who she gave a makeover to, by the way.
Yes. Those were some crazy makeover montages.
Most of this movie is, like, montages.
Also, like, I'm here for the idea of, like, Santa makeover, but then at the end, I'm like, who is this man? Who is he?
He's no longer Santa.
Yeah, that's like the IMDb description for this movie. It's just 16-year-old Lindsay decides to give Santa a makeover.
That's it, really?
Yeah, she's just like, Santa, you look chunky. Let me give you a makeover.
When Santa goes to Mrs. Claus, and you see she also got a makeover, and they just look like the stars of, like, a 50s romance movie.
Yeah, and my whole question is, I'm just like, who gave her a makeover, though? The elves? Also, Lindsay ends up delivering presents with Santa in her, BMW, mind you.
Because she refuses to get in something as dangerous as a sleigh, so they just leave it in the parking lot of this mall, which also didn't help the whole mall security storyline. Yeah.
That whole weird storyline.
Yeah.
It was, there was just a lot going on in that, and then at some point, her delivering presents took entirely too long.
Yeah, it took a really long time.
Like, it was... oh, God. It was literally, like, taking forever. It felt like the whole second half of the movie was them just delivering presents.
Well, it does take a really long time. I mean, they have to get around the whole world.
True. Oh, how did I forget this? Also, that whole thing with her love interest thing. she was like, I've rejected this guy 27 times because I'm waiting for my perfect moment.
No, when she was having a fantasy about him and he said, look, I want to thank you for ignoring me all semester.
It was so stupid. She's like, I've been playing hard to get. I was like, why, girl? I'm like, he's clearly into you. All you have to do is accept, like, be like, oh yeah, I'm into you too. And then you would be dating. But instead she wants to play games for no reason.
I'm because like, she's 16 and she has a BMW. So, like, you know, she's bored.
She's bored. And it's also 2004. So I guess that's what gender politics in 2004 were.
Honestly, yeah. That was feminism in 2004.
Jeez.
Yeah, she literally said, reject them so they want you more. And I'm like, do they? Because I feel like once you're rejected, you're just like, I guess I gotta move on.
Oh, and this was one of those movies where, like, every single character in the movie was just really dumb. Like, there wasn't one semi-intelligent character.
Yeah, they also had, like, an Asian security guard who was, he had like, a thick Asian accent for no reason. I was just like, ooh, that's unsavory.
Yeah. And the very, like, I feel like that's a thing, like, the dumb characters thing is very much, like, a mid-ish 2000s movie thing where, like, just all the characters are dumb. Like in Dude, Where's My Car?
Ah, true.
They're all idiots.
That's, like, the point of the movie, though.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like there are a lot of, like, 2000s movies where it's just, like, oh, just everyone is dumb.
They're just really stupid. The American public school system has failed. But,
well,
yeah.
I mean, George Bush was president, so...
George Bush did 9/11. Merry Christmas, everyone!
And that's it for today's episode.
We just cut off right there.
This is now a conspiracy podcast. We just drop, like, conspiracies in the middle of the episode.
Oh my God, I love conspiracies.
Why didn't we talk about 9/11 on our conspiracy?
Well, we
talked about aliens.
Yeah. We have to do a whole nother episode.
Yeah, you need
episode.
To do a whole conspiracy episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot it was just aliens. I mean, aliens could have done 9/11.
That's very true.
Bible theory.
I love that theory. Let's talk about...
I'm going to start a blog and get it going.
Yeah. Let's talk about a classic Christmas movie and talk about How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
So here's my question. Which one?
That's what I asked, too.
So... I mean, the only one that really matters to me is the live-action one from 2000.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the animated one is, like, fine, but it's very much, like... It's in the vein of, like, those Claymation Rudolph movies where it's, like...
It's better than those, though. As someone who's a fan of both.
I mean, I love the Claymation Rudolph movies, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, same.
But, I mean...
The dentist elf.
Yeah, I just prefer the live-action one because it was a lot more entertaining. Also, it's longer than the other one, so it's, like, it gives you something to do.
I like short things.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're spending time with family for the holidays, you're just like, I'm gonna put something on so we ain't gotta talk.
True.
Oof. Like, you're just like, oof. But,
I do enjoy the live-action one a lot.
Yeah. But, like, tiny sidebar, why haven't they done, like, live-action versions of those Rudolph Claymation movies yet? I'm surprised.
A live-action, like, Rudolph?
Yeah, like...
That sounds like it'd be either, like, way too intense or just, like, creepy.
Well, I'm thinking, like, you remember the ones that had, like, Heat Miser and stuff like that?
Oh,
that's
I love
I mean.
Those. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's Year Without a Santa Claus.
Oh, was Rudolph not in that one? Was that
no.
just an elf?
There are reindeer, but not Rudolph.
Oh.
No. The elf is in Rudolph.
Hmm.
Then Year Without a Santa Claus is the one where Santa Claus, like, gives up or whatever.
He's,
or,
like in a deep depression.
Him.
Wouldn't it be funny if just, like, well, I don't know if it would be funny. If I was going to be, like, Santa just, like, Year Without a Santa Claus is because Santa just offs himself.
A life without Santa Claus.
But yeah, they should definitely do a live action of that movie.
That would
yeah,
be
that
fun.
One,
yeah,
that
I
one. That would
agree.
Be really good. I saw a thing recently. I think it was probably on Tumblr. that was like, they should do Danny DeVito as Heat Miser and Jeff Goldblum as the other one.
The Ooh. Cold Miser. Yeah, I know exactly what
That'd
you're talking
be
about.
So chaotic. I love it.
I mean, it's all you could ever. That's like dream casting, honestly.
Yeah, that's like literally perfect casting. I was like, please do it. Make Danny DeVito sing. Do
honestly, sometimes I feel like Hollywood should probably just have, like, a page where they, like, just take suggestions. And they would probably get so much, like, content that people would actually want to see.
Hollywood should do a page where they get suggestions.
I mean, I do feel like Hollywood is really great at attempting to receive and put in, like, to work audience feedback. You know, Hollywood loves their audience feedback.
Yeah. They love it. Chad, I hate to inform you, but that's already been invented. It's called Twitter.
You're right. I'm sorry. I have been so blind. But anyway, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I love it. One of my favorite parts of the whole fucking movie is Baby Grinch.
Yes.
Baby Grinch is terrifying.
I know. I want that fucking doll. It's so creepy looking.
Oh my god.
Honestly, every Christmas rolls, every time Christmas rolls around, I think about that fucking baby and I'm just like, Christmas is here. Time to
think
post
about
baby.
That baby.
Oh my
Time
god.
To post Baby Grinch.
Oh god.
Well, I love how they explained how babies come, because it feels like babies come in Whoville, like Amazon packages. It's like, yep. Honey, the Echo Dot is here.
That's exactly how it comes. It's just like, you're like, I want a baby, and then like, suddenly it shows up in your house.
Yeah.
It's just delivered by drone.
Is that not how it works?
I mean, I wish. We probably have a lot less issue. Well, it depends on what their return policy is. If you're just like, I don't like this one.
Yeah, I was like, I want to return this. Can I do an exchange?
And then you end up with the Grinch. You're like, well, shit.
I would love it.
Also, I love that the two women who were taking care of him were definitely lesbians.
Oh, 100%.
And not only lesbians, but there were, like, swinger lesbians who were like, ooh, we're going to have a key party.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
This movie is so funny because I feel like they were like, it's a kid's movie, but then there's so much in it that it's like, this is not for children.
There are a lot of adult themes in it, and I love movies like that that kind of hide it in there because it's like, it's a family movie, but it's, that way it's enjoyable for everyone. It's like, it's got a little bit of stuff for the adults to keep them awake, but it also has, you know, stuff for the kids to keep them entertained. Like bright colors.
Yeah, exactly. The kids are just listening to the loud sounds and the colors.
Yeah.
They're like very quotable.
Oh, yes. It's because, I feel like millennials align themselves with the Grinch because so much of him is the millennial experience. Like, you're going through a phone book and you're like, I hate these people. That's just going through Facebook.
Oh, and his whole, like, checking his schedule to see when he has time.
Yeah. He's like,
that's definitely a mood.
I'm doing absolutely nothing.
It's like how we all relate to Squidward.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love that post where it's just like, I used to hate Squidward, and then I grew up and became Squidward.
Yeah, I also just enjoy... Who is it? Jim Carrey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just enjoy the makeup they put him in, like the prosthetics.
Yeah. Oh,
they were so good.
Yeah, their prosthetics and also just the special effects in general were done really well, I think, especially for its time.
Well, because I think all of them were practicals.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably why, because practicals are always
but
better.
They did a good... Yeah, they did a good job of making it look... like, real and not, like, a fake prop made for set.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
you know,
not, like, a stage play.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know what part I love is when, I think her name's Martha? She, like, she just says, like, hi, Betty! And then she's just like, oh, I need to put up my Christmas decorations.
The mayor's,
girlfriend?
Girlfriend, yeah.
And she pulls, like, she just pulls out this cannon and just,
she's like shooting guns.
Shooting it on the house, and she's just like, and then she's done, she's like, toodaloo! I'm like,
that's how white ladies be on Christmas.
Let me just do my thing real quick. Bye. That's so funny because, like, we also, Catherine and I also watched Jingle All the Way today, which is another, I consider it another holiday classic.
I have not seen that in a long time. I do remember it, but I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's from 1996.
It was my first time, so.
I actually went into, I went to the theaters and saw it when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's very interesting because it was back when Arnold Schwarzenegger was, like,
I was just
big.
I was just a youngin' when it came out. And you're by, like, I was...
Like a bean.
A few months old.
I was literally unconscious.
Yeah.
Little Catherine. But, so young.
Yeah, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad. And
Sinbad,
Who plays a mailman. And what was funny is I remember you, Catherine, were just like, he's such a chaotic mailman.
No, like I was saying, so there's, we of course we know our chaotic goods. Our chaotic neutrals and our chaotic evils. But what we didn't know is that there's a fourth one called Chaotic Mailman, because I don't know where to put him. He doesn't fit anywhere. He's his own chaotic.
He just shows up and, like, delivers or just causes trouble and then disappears, but also leaves your mail. He's like, oh, you also have this package from Amazon.
He just needs to deliver his mail by any means possible.
I loved the scene where he's just, like, throwing mail down the street. Like, he's just running down the street, just throwing mail behind him. Packages, letters, just...
Also, I'm pretty sure that's a federal offense.
Well, he also kept claiming that packages were, like, homemade bombs. And he's like, he would just take one out and be like, this is a homemade explosive. It could blow at any minute. And then, like, he would throw it and nothing would happen, and they'd be like, oh.
Well, except for the one scene with the cops where...
where it actually exploded.
It was an actual bomb. It was just like, oh, this isn't a bomb, and then he opens it and it literally explodes.
And then later, the mailman's like, oh, that was actually a bomb.
Oh, that was actually a bomb. I hate people during the holidays.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Also, this movie has, like, such a wild intro... with, like, the Turbo Man, like, the whole like, they basically preface the whole movie with, like, them going after this toy and show this clip from this children's show for Turbo Man or whatever, which was so wild.
I was very confused.
Yeah, she thought, Catherine thought it was a trailer for another movie and was like, we should watch this.
Honestly, they should make a modern spinoff about Turbo Man.
Oh, I totally agree. I think it would be, like, if it were one of those, like, action parody comedies, I think it would be so funny.
Yeah, it's like Turbo Man Saves Christmas. And Sinbad is somehow also in that one.
I would love that.
As a mailman.
As Chaotic Mailman. That's his character, Chaotic Mailman.
He just comes back.
There was this... Wait, what was another thing in this movie? There was that... the fucking reindeer. Like...
Oh! That just... I swear, that reindeer eats people or something. It was far too aggressive for a grass eater.
It was just so weird because, like, the neighbor was just like, oh, I got my son this present. It's a reindeer. I'm like, you bought your son a wild animal.
Ted.
Yeah, that's what his name was.
Oh, Ted.
He bought him a wild animal, and it was really funny because, like, one of the his son, he was just like, yeah, my dad used to be a jerk, too. But then, him and my mom got divorced, and now he's super great. Maybe your parents should get divorced. It'll do wonders for your dad.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like,
Ted is the worst.
He was the worst. He kept trying to, like, steal Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife.
I have a particular one where he was talking to him on the phone while he was at, like, his wife's house and was like... And he's, like, moaning, and then goes, oh, these cookies.
He's like, oh, these cookies are so good. I'm gonna have to get the recipe from your wife. Also, I was, like, annoyed because the wife was, like, bitching about how the husband wasn't there. She was just like, oh, you're not here, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, well, bitch, what do you do all day? Do you work? It seems like he's the only one who's bringing in income, so if you want to live in this house.
Well, also, Ted, though, what does he do?
I told you, he is an accountant for the mob.
Apparently.
Like, that's the only thing that he could be doing.
Yeah.
Because he had entirely too much disposable income.
True.
Oh, yeah, if you're, like, buying reindeer, like, where do reindeer even come from?
I think you have to buy them from one of those places.
Probably the black market.
Yeah, I was going to say from wherever they're doing Santa meat thingies. Meet and greets.
Santa meat thingies?
What? You know, Santa meet and greets.
Santa, like, take your picture with Santa?
Yeah, yeah, that's
but
what it was.
But also, there's a real reindeer? Where the fuck is that?
The ones that they have outdoor, you know, the ones they have in Hallmark movies, where they're all like, oh, come meet Santa,
and
there's,
you
like,
mean
a
the ones in. That don't exist?
I swear there's some place where it's colder, where, like, the Midwest or something.
You just go to the mall and there's a fucking reindeer?
No, it's an outdoor event thing, it's not inside. So you have to wait outside in the snow to meet Santa. You know, kind of like in the holiday calendar.
Yeah, they didn't have reindeer, though.
Yeah, I'm saying some places, whatever. Anyway.
I would like to do research on this. Yeah, no, this one sounds like a time. I do, like, vaguely remember it.
Yeah, there's a lot of really fun sequence stuff in it. I mean, this was Catherine's first time watching it, and I think she had a good time.
I did. I quoted you at one point.
What did I say?
You said, I wish the Santa made him sit on his lap for it, and then he did it.
Because they were trying to get the doll, and the guy was just like, hey, you want this doll? And he was just like, I'm not sitting on your lap. And then I was just like, I wish that the Santa would have asked him to, like, hey, if you want this toy, you need to sit on my lap. And then he did it. And then it was, like, a weird sexual thing, because that would have been really funny.
Oh, my God.
At least for me. So in my Christmas movie that I'm writing, I'm going to do that.
You're going to make a weird pervert Santa. Got it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, bad Santa.
Well, yeah. I loved that the music that they did, they really were having fun with irony. Like, the part where his car broke down, the song that was playing was I'll Be Home for Christmas. And then when they're all beating each other, when everyone's beating each other up at the mall trying to get this toy, it's the most wonderful time of the year was playing. And, like, there were multiple instances, but those were two that I wrote down where, like, something really chaotic or violent was happening and some, like, really happy Christmas song would be playing.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
And I'm like, yep, this is Christmas.
Yeah, it was... Well, because they had that sequence where, like, people were basically, like, how people used to envision Black Friday, where it's, like, people are racing into stores and people get trampled to death, and it's, yeah, like a
people
whole
were
thing.
Literally beating each other up in that one scene.
Like, that's how it'd be.
Yeah, but I'm like, I've never seen that. Like, in all of my years I've only been able to, like, physically go to the store by myself for, like, maybe half of my life, I guess. So, like, as a child, I wouldn't have experienced Black Friday where people were, like, trying to kill each other. But I'm like, I've never seen that. Like, I've only seen, like, videos online, and they're from, like, years ago, from, like, 2002 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there were a couple instances where it did actually happen, but it was, like, in the middle of the country where they probably have, like, nothing else to do but shop at Walmart. So.
Yeah, like, they only have, like, one Walmart, and that's the only store in the whole town.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, they said iPhones are coming out and somebody shot their neighbor.
Yeah, exactly. iPhones are coming out, bang! Like, I just want an excuse to kill Jim!
Oh my God. The iPhone made me do it.
Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift plays.
The ghost of Steve Jobs made me kill my neighbor.
Love it. But no, what's really funny is they also had a sequence like that at the beginning of Krampus, which we also watched.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it was less... Was it shopping? Or
yeah.
Was it...
Okay. They were also shopping. It was just, like, one of those sequences. That was, like, the title sequence, basically.
Yeah.
They were doing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. So they did another ironic thing with that.
Yeah.
Love it.
But, you know, that's kind of Michael Dougherty's thing.
Krampus is a great spooky Christmas
example. Yeah, because you don't even you don't like horror movies, so I was... Like, because me and you went and saw this in the theaters when it originally came out. And I was surprised you came with us.
I recall, oh yes, that's right. I was like, I seem to remember you guys forced me to come, but now I remember that you didn't. It was just kind of like, you guys were like, we're going to go see this. And I was like, yeah, I would be interested in seeing that. And you were like very surprised. But it's not a scary movie. It's just kind of like suspenseful.
Yeah. Well, I never know where your threshold is sometimes.
I mean, me neither. I get scared watching fucking BuzzFeed Unsolved.
So. I mean, same.
But Krampus is always fun to watch for me because, I mean, I just love Michael Dougherty movies. Because I love Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat, yeah. Trick or Treat actually was scary.
Yeah, that one's a lot scarier.
Yeah.
But this one is a little, well, I don't know, those fucking monsters are kind of scary. Like, especially the Jack in the Box one specifically.
Yeah, that one is... The toys.
Yeah. But the sound effects that they used in that movie were so funny.
My personal favorite was when the kid was getting dragged into the fireplace, and he ran into the side of the fireplace, and you just heard, like, a boink sound effect.
A boink.
Yeah, my favorite was when they tied up the aunt in the chains, and then she was just like, see you in hell! And then they, like, drag her off, and it was just like, whee! Like that old...
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
That old 50s cartoon sound effect was... That was so classic. Love it. Also, just, I don't know why they made Krampus's face look the way that they did in the movie. Because he just had, like, this weird slack jaw.
It's CGI, right?
No, that was... He's usually more on the side of practical, so that whole movie was almost all practicals. Except for, I think, the gingerbread men.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh.
Because there were...
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because there was the doll... There were several dolls. Like, that fucking angel. That angel was That angel was also terrifying because it was, like, very, like, chaotic.
It was just moving a lot.
And then it had that little flicky tongue thing.
Oh, my God.
I feel like
half of them wasn't even like, I'm trying to kill you. It's like, I just want to really mess with you. And it's like, so I'm just going to sit here and instead of killing you, I'm just going to slow, like, lick your ear.
I mean, I would be horrified.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mortified, even.
I'd be like, just kill me, please.
Please.
I don't want this.
Please murder me.
Please end my suffering. I just love the fact that, I just love how ridiculously fun that movie is for, I guess, the scenario that's going on, because this whole family is just basically being dragged away by Krampus one by one.
No, there is an element of, like, not comedy. I mean, yeah, a little bit of comedy, I guess. Like, a little bit of, like, camp, almost, with it.
Yeah.
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 Campy Christmas.
Campy spooky Christmas.
I loved all the extended eye contact at the end with all the family, and they all just stared at each other.
They're like, yeah, because you said something about that. You're like, I can't wait to do that with my family at Christmas.
We all sit there in silence and stare at each other.
For 5 whole minutes.
I just feel like that was like, we're going to agree to never talk about this again, right?
I'm going to do something like that for Christmas. I'm going to be like, let's have a moment of silence for baby Jesus. And
my gosh.
And everyone's going to bow their head and I'm just going to be looking around. Or leave. I mean, I feel like that's always a good time. They're just like, let us bow our heads and pray. I'm like, what if I just like left for like 5 minutes and then came back?
5 whole minutes.
And then my food's gone. But anyway. Yeah. Krampus is always a good time.
Yeah, I enjoy the scene where they go outside and it's just, like, the complete, like, desolate, like, snow-covered street.
Oh, it is so snowy. I'm just like, where the hell were you guys?
I mean, they must have created that, right? They must have.
I mean, they fucking demolished that house, so I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it might be on just, like, it might have just been on a set somewhere, probably.
Yeah, I imagine the house was probably a set.
Yeah. It reminds me of that time, Catherine, were you there when we were all trapped in that apartment together and then we went out to get food?
She was not.
Oh, no.
She wasn't?
Okay. No, we've had
this
conversation.
There were so many people there.
I know. I remember hearing about it and being like, wow, I'm glad I wasn't there.
It was literally a horrifying experience. Chad almost murdered everybody.
There was one day where I just needed time alone. I was just like, yeah. I need to be by myself.
But, like, you couldn't get away from anybody. It was terrifying.
So
you
I were just in sat like, in the
what,
corner.
You were in, like, what, like a two-bedroom apartment with, like, 10 people?
Yep,
something like that.
Yeah, that was, like, pretty much it. But when we, so when, Chad, I know you didn't go with us, but when we finally ventured outside to go to the store, which was open, that was literally what it was like. Like, the whole, it was like a, it was crazy. It was like a movie scene. Like, the everything was covered in snow. It was just, like, the whole street. Like, it was insane.
I just remember when they were like, oh, we're going to go to the store. I was just like, I'm not going outside.
I, like, needed to go outside at that point. I had to. I was like, if I don't fucking go out, if I don't get oxygen right now.
I just went out onto the deck whenever I felt like that. I was like, I'm going to just take a minute to myself.
Yeah, exactly. But no, we should write a horror Christmas movie based on that experience.
Oh, truly.
I'm surprised you haven't yet.
Well, a friend of ours tried to make a game,
oh,
like an
yeah.
actual
was
game.
Was it like a survival
oh,
game or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was like trying to figure out what special skills each one of us had.
That's right. Oh my god, I forgot about that. That was so funny.
I wonder if she still has that somewhere. I'm gonna have to text her about that.
She might.
I don't know. She didn't text me back when I asked her what the fuck she was talking about earlier.
On brand.
It's okay. She listens to this podcast, so she'll know.
Yeah, she'll just text me literally after she listens to this and be like, oh, it was this. But yeah, anyway.
She's one of our two listeners.
I'm the second.
I'm the ghost listen. So, I guess our last movie that we watched was The Christmas Caper, which you, Grace,
yep,
specifically were like, hey, we should watch this, and then you didn't watch it.
Yep.
Which is so on brand for you.
It is entirely on brand for me. It is so chaotic neutral of me.
But, I mean, it's an okay movie. It wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be, especially when I looked it up on IMDb and I saw that it had a 6.2 and I was just like, oh, that can't be good.
Yeah, that's really disappointing because from the thumbnail and the description, I was like, oh, this is going to be horrendous.
Oh, the thumbnail was so funny.
That was awful.
And then I was so upset that the movie was almost nothing like that.
Yeah.
Although in the very beginning, because Catherine and I were talking about this, it's like the beginning of the movie, she robs this house basically, but she like breaks in and then immediately takes off her mask for no reason.
And the guy she's with also took his mask off, and they have a security camera in the house, and so they got pictures of her face later, but they didn't get the guy
somehow. They were like, oh, we didn't see that other person who was in here. I'm just like, how yeah. the fuck did he stay out of the cameras? That doesn't make any
yeah.
sense.
Also, so the whole thing is while he's there, he like stabs her in the back. Not, like, literally, but...
He just stabs her and leaves her there.
I couldn't remember the, like, other way to say it, but, like...
He betrays her.
Double-crosses
her. Like,
her.
Yeah, he betrays her, and... But he's just, like... He's like, oh, yeah, I'll go take care of this. Also, the only lesson I never taught you, never trust a thief. And then he just runs off, and she's like...
She doesn't go after him either. She's just
yeah,
like,
and
what?
And then the owners immediately walk in the house and catch her, and she starts running away, and, you know, that whole thing. And so I'm like, where did he go that he's just like, don't trust me, bye.
He got out of that house so easy and so quick, and then she was just, like, scrambling to try and figure out how to get out.
Yeah.
And what was like, really funny is, like, she was by the front door, and they open up the front door, and like, she, like, runs
and
up
this
the
was
stairs.
Like, this is literally, like, 2 or 3 minutes in, and I remember, like, he said that, and I wrote it down. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
But it was really funny. Especially because the security guard chased after her. He was just like, hey, get back here! And then she goes and hides in a bedroom. And then the, which had, like, double doors, which I'm like, if anyone knows anything about double doors in, like, a bed, on a bedroom, you know that they're mm-hmm. basically kind of flimsy. Yeah. And you can kick them open very easily.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like, why didn't he just kick the doors open? He just, like, really? Struggled to open it for a second. And then she jumps out of a window. And then goes to her hometown to, like, watch her niece and nephew because her sister and her husband are trapped in the Bahamas during, like, a monsoon.
That was so funny. God. They were running out of food. And they were, like, she was, like, trying to ration peanuts.
And then this fat dude was just, like, she was, like, trying to give him 4 peanuts. She was just, like, this could be our only food. And he was just, like, give me the whole bag, lady, and just dumps out the whole bag of peanuts.
And she's just, like, screaming.
Yeah, so those were basically the best... Those were, like, the highlights of the movie,
I guess. Well, what about the kids? So, like, the teen boy is, like...
Basically trying to burn down his house.
He's a hooligan. Constantly pulling the pranks. Got taken home by the police. And then the younger daughter is, like, a goody two-shoes. And
she's a good Samaritan.
Specifically, the thing I wrote down is the daughter is a snitch TM.
Daughter is snitch TM.
Because, like, when the cop came and the... Kathy, that is her name. The main character's name is Kathy. And she was like, oh, don't tell the police that I'm here. Because, like, she doesn't want to get caught for the whole jewel heist thing. And the kid is just like... He's like, oh, is anyone home? And she's like, yeah, my Aunt Kathy is here, but she told me not to tell you that she's here.
Amazing.
And he's like, can you go get her and tell her to come downstairs? And she's like, sure. Aunt Kathy, he knows that you're here.
Because I told him.
And I'm like, wow, what a snitch.
The other character I definitely liked was the, I think it was her best friend from high school or something.
The
girl,
blonde?
Yeah, the one who got her husband left her, and she was just, like, at the end of the movie, she was, like, introducing herself to people. She's like, hi, my husband left me.
Hi, my husband, I split. Hi, I'm single now.
She only tells it to the first 3 people who come in the door, though, because two of the dudes were, like, attractive, so she was like, ooh, I'm single, I'm gonna go mingle now.
Amazing. Just, like, immediately horny.
Yeah, basically.
It was just really funny. I was dying at the part where she was, or at the fact that she was just, like, my husband left me.
Oh my god, yeah.
I mean, it's not funny because, I mean, if my husband left me, I feel like I would be sad and devastated, but it was fucking funny.
The duality of man.
Hey, if it's not you, it's funny. Isn't that the general rule of them?
That is the rule, yeah. It's one of the 10 commandments, I think.
What if it was you?
What accent was that?
Have you never seen that video?
No.
It's weirdly circulating the internet again. It's been all over Twitter. The, like, guy who's, like, the butter dude, and he was like, do you want me to call Christina Aguilera?
No idea what you're dying.
I'm gonna have to send it to you. It's very funny. It's a classic video. It's definitely from at least 10 years ago. At the very minimum.
Oh, like one of those. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant it was like a Vine or something. I was like, I've never
No, seen it. I think it was like a YouTube video like way, way, way back. It was before, it predated Vine.
Gotcha. Because I was gonna say, I've seen like most Vines.
Yeah, it's from like the Chris Crocker era of like YouTube.
Oof.
Yeah, oof is right.
Remember the old days.
Remember the good old days.
Yeah.
Can you believe Jenna Marbles has made a little bit of a comeback?
Oh my god, yeah.
I like love it.
I feel like she also hasn't really changed at all.
At all. Yeah. Literally at all.
I mean, I was watching some of her videos recently, and they were doing like the that paint thing where you like. Put a bunch of, like, colors of paint into a thing, and then you dump it onto a canvas and shit like that. And her and her boyfriend were doing that, and I just remember being, like, very, like, annoyed and anxious with her boyfriend, because I was just, like, he was just so chaotic to the point where he was, like, he kept, like, touching the paint and stuff and then, like, adding more. I'm just like, stop it! Stop!
Have you seen the video where he can't tell the difference between, like, these 3 actresses?
No.
No.
I'm going to find that and send it right now.
I like how this turned into us just talking about YouTube.
I mean...
And we went from Christmas like to that YouTube.
Sometimes.
Maybe that should be our next episode. We'll just talk about YouTube videos.
We're going to talk about... It's just another excuse to talk about BuzzFeed on Salt.
Hey, subscribe to the Bun Network. I'm going to plug them because I love Riot. He's so great. Yeah. He's so fun.
He is. He deserves the whole world, and Shade is a demon, so thanks.
Ryan just believes. He truly believes, and I respect someone who truly believes that ghosts are there. Even if they're not, don't fuck with shit that may be there and could mess with you.
Yep. Agree.
But anyway. So that kind of concludes this episode, where we're just talking about YouTube. Anyway. Christmas is over.
Oh, God.
Christmas has been canceled. Here in Aldovia, we're broke, and now we have to cancel Christmas.
Now we have to cancel It's 2:30 a.m. I want to say that we're definitely going to do another collab.
Yeah,
another ep.
I foresee one in the near future.
In the not-so-distant future. Yeah. I agree.
It'll be fun, but, you know, you can always come back and join Grace and I talking about whatever else.
I watch fucking things.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of television.
Catherine and I do our own thing when we watch movies.
Could be up
movies.
For a K-drama episode.
Honestly, we should 100% do it. I am down to watch some K-dramas.
Let me know.
In 2019.
I know another listener of ours watches K-dramas. I'm sure that she can give us some suggestions as well.
Oh, yes,
I have a whole list of suggestions from someone who sent me, like, this very long message.
I love
this one
it.
And this one.
It's all older ones, but... So it doesn't have a lot of the newer, like, Netflix ones that are out, but...
Okay.
I want, like, easy access.
Same. Only ones on streaming sites, sorry.
Although I am gonna definitely watch this one that is, it's gay-oriented, so I definitely have to watch it. Although I think it's Thai. I think it comes from Thailand.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Anyway, whatever. We're just gonna fly all over the place. Let's just go to the Far East, as they call it, I guess.
The Far East. Oh my god. Okay, we have to end this now.
Yes! Jingle, 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 jingle.
Hark, hear the bells. Ding dong. Okay.
Thanks for listening, guys. Come back and join us sometime.
As always.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Bye.